Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, today we're going to be talking about something that's a little bit different than maybe most of you perhaps would experience, but I'll tell you what. Having been in media for many years, I found this material extremely interesting. What is it? Interview tactics. And you never know when you may have a chance to be on radio or television yourself, or perhaps even having someone interview you for a newspaper or a magazine. Well, how do you survive this experience without getting clobbered? That is the title of Gail Murphy's book. She's a Hollywood correspondent. Gail, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, you have done over 14,000 celebrity interviews, and that is quite a number of people that you have spoken with, Gail. Give us a little bit of background on how you got involved with this.
Well, I got into broadcasting in the 80s. It was a completely different landscape and a totally different world. I mean, especially when you look at it like a year and a half ago, we didn't even have Twitter. So it was a different world. You could actually call a radio station and get them to play your song even. So, you know, maybe they'd even put you on the air if you sounded cute. So it was just a different world. I started a small station here in Los Angeles, a station called K-Rock, and I guess it was just meant to be because within a year and a half I was working at an ABC-owned and operated station here, and I quickly realized that they were owned and operated by a company called ABC out of New York, and they also had the ABC News division, so I called them up and said, hey, I'm here in L.A., and in case you need anything, and they said, well, you know, we need a lot of celebrity stuff. I said, no problem, because they paid you for each piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I turned that into a 17-year run. I was the only on-location rock reporter in Los Angeles.
Wow.
And I traveled all over the world, and it was just completely wonderful. And then sometime in the late 90s, ABC got sold to Disney, and I was courted to do some freelance work for the BBC and Sky News. So I started my own company.
Wow.
And have mouthful travel.
have mouth
and microphone. Yeah, we'll travel.
Yeah, don't forget the mic. The mouth can be running, but if you don't have a mic, your voice wears out real fast.
And also, they can't hear you across the street. So
that's
shout as you may.
Shout as you may. You have right at the front of your book, you gotta tell it to sell it.
Yeah.
And that is so very, very true. Okay. Let's go into some points on your book, which I just think, to avoid getting clobbered. My personal experience over the years has been when I've been interviewed, especially with newspaper articles, I would read stuff later and I'd go, good Lord, none of this happened. Where did that get in? How did that get in there? And you just, you know, I think of the poor movie stars that have all of this stuff that's yellow journalism, as I would describe it. And it's just all of this garbage all over the place. And people will say, I just don't want to have anything to do with the press. I don't want to talk to anybody. I just can't handle it. Well, I've dealt with some pretty sour apples, as I'm sure you have. Maybe we should call them sour persimmons. Anyway, there are people, they just seem to want to dig and do all kinds of things that if you're a nice person, you're sitting there and you're going, excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about.
Well, the whole idea is that that never really has to happen.
Right.
That never has to happen. Your job being interviewed is not just showing up. You have to also know that they've Googled you to find out who you are and your background. Google them, too. Is this the National Enquirer or National Public Radio?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's the National Enquirer, you're not going to do it. How is that going to help you? Also, when it comes to business products and services, typically you will deal with the business section or the lifestyle section where it's not celebrity-oriented. The whole idea is to celebritize yourself in your niche, not to be competing with Lindsay Lohan.
Mm-hmm.
And also, that whole celebrity tabloid journalism, as you call it, feeds into itself. All that stuff is worked out in advance. It all completely just feeds into itself. It's no accident that when you that these celebrities who are first dating get seen walking in or out of a restaurant or walking in and out of an event. All that is prepared in advance. That's how they build up their street cred.
Uh-huh. See, folks? It's just like the wrestling matches.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. All that stuff's worked out in advance. There may be the one or two, you know, somebody gets picked up for drunken driving and then, you know, it's all over the place. But for the most part, the bulk of the material that's in there, A, is not true, and B, you know, anyone can stand outside of an airport and wait for celebrities to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And then ask them questions and sell that, you know, on the internet. But that's not really journalism, and that's not really anything that, you know, anyone's going to really want to have anything to do with. That said, if you're if you have a business and you're selling a product and a service, and there are some built-in controversial aspects to what you're doing, you need to identify them for yourself, and you need to think of the five questions that you never want to be asked regarding that, and then you have to answer them on your own and by yourself, so that if and when should they ever rear their ugly little heads, you don't freak out.
That is a very important point, and if you stop and think of that just in everyday life and everyday business, when you're out in meetings, where you are literally being interviewed by different people for all intents and purposes, even though you're talking over a hamburger or a steak or whatever you might be having, that is something that's very important. You've brought out a very, very good level of being prepared, because that is absolutely important. You have to realize you're on stage, and what you say and how you act is going to come across.
You're absolutely right. You get to be the star of the Me Show, starring me, or in this case, you. It's supposed to be fun, and you can keep it fun. You can keep it lighthearted, but you always have to stay in control. I mean, being interviewed is a two-person sport. If you can't tell it to one person, you can't tell it to a million.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to prepare in advance and know what you're going to talk about before you even speak. Just think more along the lines of bullet points so you don't sound like a robot with some kind of script that you can't see. But 50% of my book, Interview Tactics, teaches you the job of a reporter so that you can give it to them. And I wanted to just jump back on something that you said when we at the top of the show about having interview tactics for meeting the press. But, you know, when I first started in the media, the definition of media was television, radio, production, and the people that were involved in it, all acting as one cohesive unit. That doesn't exist anymore. Sometime in the earlier part of this brand new century, we experienced a shift in media of Teutonic proportions. And so what's left in its wake is something we have to cobble together so we can still sell our stuff. So what I decided to do to help make that easier is to redefine media as we know it. So Murphy's Law in 2010, the definition of media is no longer what I said it was. It is anyone or anything that has the ability to take your message and move it forward. Now, that's the good news, and it's also the bad news. So if I ask you if you've ever done media and you say, oh, no, I'm not there yet, you know, my business is still on my kitchen table, or it's still in my garage, or we're still putting it together. So if you tell somebody like me that you're not doing any media, and my definition of media is anyone or anything that has the ability to take your message and move it forward, what you're saying to me is, I've never used a telephone, I've never written an email. I've never left a message on anybody's voicemail. I don't have a business card, never been in a photograph, have no promotional materials. Listen, you've been using the media all along. Anytime you walk out of your house and tell another person, you don't even have to walk out of your house. You tell a person anything about who you are and what you do, you are using the media.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Now, in your book, you talk about pitches.
Right.
And you say the very best pitches are the ones that sell themselves. They're easily repeatable, visual, relatable. Actually, all three make
it
more powerful. Give us an example of that.
Well, your pitch is what's left standing after you've already left the room.
Mm-hmm.
So a pitch can also be your soundbite. And let me define what soundbites are, because we hear a lot about soundbites when we're talking about the media. A soundbite is a brief and outstanding mini version of who you are and what you're selling. It is also it's a short little conceptual snippet, and it's what the media thrives on. It's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. In print, it's a quote. So anytime you see anything in quotes, that's a soundbite. And also when you're watching TV, headline news, or I don't even know if they call it that anymore, CNN, every time they cut to the person, like the president or the treasury secretary or the new babe on whatever CW show, and they're talking, that's called a soundbite.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have some soundbites. Your soundbite can also be your pitch. So if you and I are at a networking event, or we're backstage waiting to go on Jay Leno, and you say to me, so what's your book about and what do you do? I tell you, I celebritize CEOs, or I celebritize talk show hosts, or I celebritize authors, experts, entrepreneurs. My job doesn't change, but it gives you sort of an idea of what you do, what I do, and then a conversation will ensue in that, because my pitch is what makes me interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you another example. I have a woman that I work with who has a high-end concierge service,
mm-hmm,
for busy executives. And they could be executives of oil companies, real estate companies. They could work for the studios. It doesn't really matter. But they just don't have the time to do things like pick up documents at the airport, or pick up their dry cleaning, or make sure that something very specifically is done with some tailored clothing or whatever. So basically,
right,
her end user is a multitude of different people. Her job is exactly the same. So what does she really sell? She sells free time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's her pitch. I sell free time to busy executives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what is it that's unique, interesting, different, and has a hook to it that you could make your pitch?
Mm-hmm. Very good point. You've got a quote. Just remember, it's a story. Always tell a good story. Don Hewitt, TV news pioneer and creator of 60 Minutes. Stories are so important.
So important.
Oh, it is the factor of communication that allows empathy between you and the listener. And having been in media for so many years, if you get someone that's just yes, no, doesn't have a story to tell, you want them off air in just 30 seconds or less.
Flat.
I mean, that's it. You just don't need them. So
yeah,
it's really a challenge. But stories, when you're trying to communicate, often that paints the verbal picture that you want to convey. And it's absolutely important. Talk to us about the info shamans.
Oh, right. Well, one of the wonderful things that info shamans do, and those are people that buy and sell and have a business having to do with information, whether it's how to save money, how to save time, how to spend more time with your family, how to lose weight, how to clean your house faster, how to find a job, how to save your money, how to spend your money, or whatever it is. They buy and sell information,
mm-hmm,
and product systems and the like. And what they do is, I just mentioned like the top seven reasons why people buy and sell anything.
Right.
So it's not enough just to say, my product will save you time. You really want to say, my product will save you time so that you can go to the gym. My product will save you time so you can spend more time with your kids. Tell them what the value of spending more time and you make it about them. You know, the biggest single mistake people make when they do any kind of media or any kind of interview is they think it's about them. It's mm-hmm. not. It's about the story. Now, it happens to be your story, but at the end of the day, when they write it up or they present it, whose name is on it? Not yours, theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And so doing media and working with the media is a two-person sport. You work in tandem with each other. Half my book, half the information in interview tactics teaches you what the job of a reporter is, so you can give it to them.
Well, with you, what is an experience that was especially significant to you, Gail, that really enabled you to recognize certain things? You've been involved. I mean, you've talked with over 14,000 people. You have been involved in this environment. Someone listening today might say, oh, that's easy enough for you to say. What were some of the lessons that you learned when you were first starting out in this environment?
Well, at the end of the day, I realized that everybody wants the same thing, regardless of how much money you have or where your house is located, or that everybody puts on their pants one leg at a time. And so if I've had my heart broken on a bad date or somebody that I really liked, so do they, and so does everyone else. And everybody has a family, be it dysfunctional, functional, rational, irrational. You and I were just talking before we came on about computers.
Mm-hmm.
And all the stuff you went through. Now, you didn't go through a half hour. You said two things, and my stomach was hurting.
I think anybody's stomach would hurt after a while.
Because yeah. I so related to what you had to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you I was having a problem with my phone, which was not even here. It's located in the phone company, and you were like, oh, my God, tell me about it. We're having this, and it's like, you know, we're both, like, talking about technology that we can't control.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the world is not out there. It's not out there. It's like right here, right now, and we're all sort of doing the same thing all at once. You know, everybody's paying for gas that's too expensive.
That's
everybody's funny. Trying to get green and doesn't even really know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to get healthy, you know, whether they're doing it or not. You know, as they smoke a cigarette, they go, yeah, I'm going to quit. Oh, yeah, I won't be smoking in 5 years from now. You got another cigarette? You know, everybody has something they want to kick or create or carry on with. And I'll tell you, that's the most, you know, it's kind of a lofty answer, but it's probably the most liberating thing. I mean, you can see movie stars, and after the first 10 years, it's enough with the movie stars. Because you see them come, you see them go, you see them, you know, claw their way to the top, and then in one night just blow the whole thing.
That is so true. And how many times does that happen a year?
I know. It's like, what is going on? You had $5 million 5 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on here? So everybody has something in different proportions, and there's a really liberating thing about that. So what happens is you no longer pull up at a stoplight and say, oh, what's wrong with me? I don't have an $80,000 car.
Mm-hmm.
That's the single most significant thing that I've learned. And plus, that's given me confidence because it allows me to put the onus back on myself so that I can go out there and effectively help change the world.
Isn't that a wonderful feeling when you're
yeah.
able to have an aha where you say, I really want to make a difference?
Yeah.
I, you know, the schlitz and the glitz, that's okay, but I really want to make a difference, and I don't need to be stuck. And it's liberating, because then you give yourself the pat on the back, and you move forward.
Yeah.
You have Murphy's Law throughout your book, and I
yeah.
really liked something you said about a killer interview.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excuse me just a minute. Sorry, something went down the wrong pipe. The killer interview is one where the reporter asks you a question, you answer it, and then you elaborate on the answer with detail and color,
mm-hmm.
giving the interviewer something to work with. Now, that goes back a little bit to what I said about a person being on the air with you that goes, yeah, pause, nothing.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Pause, nothing. I mean, that's about as exciting as a dead cockroach. So you just don't want to stay with that. Elaborate on that a little bit, because it makes a difference.
Well, you know what it is? Those people who just give you yes or no answers are basically saying to you, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I am completely out of my element. I have no idea what I'm doing. But you know what? Interviewees sometimes aren't the only ones that don't know what they're doing. Sometimes you get a host that doesn't know what they're doing either.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to say to them, who told you you could leave the house? You can't leave the house.
Oh, I love that. I've had so many guests on my show that after I've interviewed them, they said, you would not believe the people didn't even know. They hadn't even opened my book. They hadn't even looked at it.
When this is for everyone out there, when you prepare your press kit to do stuff like this, to do any kind of media, one of the things that you do as a luxury in your press kit is that I have a separate page called Frequently Asked Questions,
mm-hmm.
FAQs, and it's usually anywhere from 8 to 10 to 15 questions, whatever you want to do. And so that in a bind or whatever, you just have a little cheat sheet there where you can just ask questions. Obviously, you haven't used one yet because I wrote the FAQ myself and you haven't asked me one of those questions. You actually read the book.
Yes.
Three cheers for you. But I did an interview on Tuesday and I'm telling you, I sat here with a checklist. I mean, that was everything. And see, the whole thing is listening is almost as important, if not more important, than asking, than speaking. Listening, because if you're just going down the list and we're talking and I say, oh yeah, by the way, I went to dinner with George Clooney last night, and you don't pick up on that,
mm-hmm.
get back in that room
mm-hmm.
and get off the radio, because you're not serving the people that are listening to your show. So listening is as important as doing. And sometimes at the end of the day, you'll have I know a lot of reporters who they just have a basic, bare-bones list of questions. Who are you? What are you selling? Why do I need it? And where can I get it?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they don't even get to the second question a half hour later.
Mm-hmm.
Because the person is so full of rich, different ways to go, the reporter's going, oh, wow, this is so fun.
Yes.
You know, raised in Italy, won a gold medal, married to, you know, a Nobel Prize winner, you know, has three houses, one in Aspen, one in Rome, one in, you know, whatever. Or by the same token, raised in East LA, kicked out of high school, went into a gang, by the grace of God, didn't have to go to jail to get the lesson, came out and is now empowering other people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm never going to get to the second question on that one.
That's right. You've got so much information right there.
Right there.
That you can interact with that person for
right
the
there.
Entire time. Absolutely.
Right there. And then you have a great game. You have a great game on.
Yes, you do. You have a number of different points in your book. One is the zone, which I think that is such an important description, because everyone has experience. The zone at one time or another.
Mm-hmm.
Give us your definition of what you call the personal zone.
Well, for anybody out there that has ever played music is a perfect example of the zone. But you know what? Forget even playing music. Sometimes we'll be driving in the car
mm-hmm.
and we will be having such a fulfilling day or a good day or just a nice groove on, and suddenly we arrive at our destination. And we go, oh, my God, I actually got off the freeway?
Mm-hmm.
You were in the zone. You felt good. You were at peace. And athletes have to do it all the time, as do anybody that commands an audience, because you have to shut the noise down.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to forget that there was a lot of traffic getting over to where you were going, and then maybe this wasn't the outfit you wanted to wear, and maybe your hair, just shutting it all out and just allowing yourself to exist in that goodness so that you can then go ahead and deliver your message.
And that is a very powerful visualization technique to be able to utilize, and once you learn how to use it, then no matter what's going on, you just move into it. You're just right there. You're present. And it's a very good exercise to do if you find your mind going in 10,000 different directions. You have your Hollywood Talk of Fame in your book, which
yes.
I just dearly loved. Halle Berry is just a very wonderfully gorgeous, gorgeous woman.
Yes.
But I really enjoyed her attitude about the press because she said they've been very, very good to her. You have Goldie Hawn in here. You have so many famous people, John Travolta. And you go into details about what they've said about various interviews. You give a lot of good tips in here. What is it? Now, here you've got this media guide. This media guide, there are so many good points of information. How would you recommend, and not just reading it from cover to cover, but as a workbook, how would you recommend somebody using it?
Well, I do have a 5-part workbook in the back of the book that teaches you how to find your story, because there's going to be people listening this that says, well, I would do media right away, but I mean, I have this going on and that going on. So the workbook really teaches you how to consolidate and prioritize who you are and what you're selling through a series of 20 questions. And also quite a bit of journaling that you have to do. And I hope you all get the book, but what you don't want to do is write in the book, although there are places to write, because it will constantly be changing and evolving. Not so much that you will change and evolve, which you will, but once you start exercising that media muscle, you start to get a media groove on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever believe in throwing anything out, but you start moving things off the side. In other words, maybe a way you had been pitching your business for the last 3 to 5 years, and suddenly you get your media groove on and you say, you know what? I have a new attitude. It's a new year. I'm going to be pitching my business this way, and I'm going to be talking about my business that way. Or suddenly I just realize I have 10 more different markets and users for my business, product, or service that I hadn't even been thinking about. But now that I'm thinking about it, it's much larger than I thought. You know, Emerson said we are what we think about all day long. So if you start thinking about your business and how you present it, you will draw that energy to you. It just works that way.
Also, I want to come full circle to what you said at the very beginning of our interview, and that is that we have so many levels of communication today.
Oh.
The social networking, and the big ones are Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and there's some others that are coming up rapidly.
Yeah.
And we have literally gazillions of bits of information that are flying back and forth.
Right.
So we have to be discerning, too.
Right. Yeah.
You ask yourself, how are you going to present your image if you want to come across as, the cornflake in the business department? Great. Put it out there in that way. But if you really have to think, because the old adage, you never have a second chance to make a first impression, is especially significant on those social networking sites.
Well, you know, one of the things about Twitter is it really teaches you how to be concise. And LinkedIn also, because you can't, you know, blab on forever. You only have a certain amount of characters you're going to use. That's why you always want to know what your talking points are. What are your talking points? Mine are you got to tell it to sell it, or tell it to sell it, or you got to pitch it to promote it so you can tell it to sell it. Another one of my talking points is about the media groove. You can take all of those and do a separate tweet or LinkedIn about each one of those. So it's really important to know what your talking points are, and all of this is addressed in the book.
Yes, it is. And I know we're just about out of time.
Oh.
Gail, it's been a delight having you
as a guest.
Oh, my gosh,
it flew by.
Yes, it does. It just goes by like the wind. Now, you have a website, interviewtactics.com, interviewtactics.com. And your book is Interview Tactics, How to Survive the Media Without Getting Clobbered, The Insider's Guide to Giving a Killer Interview. But I'll say to those of you who are listening, you may have in your head saying, oh, my goodness, I'm not going to be on television. Donna, I probably will never write a book. I won't ever do this. I won't ever do that. What you need to understand is that in her book, there is valuable information about how you can be more effective in your communication capacity. And you're always outselling yourself wherever you are. So if you are shy or you're trying to figure out what you can do, if you do have a business or you're wanting to do something special, maybe you're working with a church or an organization. And you say, gee, I wish I could be better. I wish I could be more effective in the way that I reach out to people because I come across like a mouse and I don't want to do that. And people ignore me. Her book has got some wonderful tips. You will gain insights into yourself as well as developing maybe skills that you've yearned to have. Gail Murphy, your book, Interview Tactics, is really a wonderful tool. I want to thank you for being my guest. Go to her website, interviewtactics.com. Again, Gail, thank you for being my guest.
And you're so very welcome.
This is Donna. We're taking a break. We're going to come back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. And find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Oh, I'm so excited. My computer is back working. Yahoo! I'll tell you, this technology, I absolutely adore it, but at times I really want to scream. For those of you listening, we've been having some challenges, and we had thought it was with the cable. We had gone through all kinds of examination. My email newsletter I couldn't get out, and I couldn't respond to emails. So if you've been sending me emails and I've not answered, I apologize. And we finally had somebody out that was able to check everything from A to Z, and we found there was a little wire that was defective, a little itsy-bitsy something. And it's enough to make you go and soak yourself in hooch somewhere, because I'm telling you, you just go crazy. We couldn't get the internet connection. Of course, we've had storms up here in the Pacific Northwest. Now it's all working, and we're just singing and being joyful about the whole thing. Well, I want to invite you to call me if you so desire. Hey, this is Easter weekend, and if you'd like for me to light up your life a little with a little bit of insight before you go into this fabulous weekend of food, friends, family, and celebration, Give me a call at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, I do want to remind you, and I know you're going to be hearing this for a long time, because I've got a special book project that I'm working on, and it's about pulling together 100 stories about the paranormal. I'd love to hear your story, whether it's about ghosts, out-of-body experiences, whatever. Just send me an email, and be sure to put the subject line Donna's book. I think that would be a good thing to put in. Put in Donna's book in the subject line, story. And then send it to me, donna@delphiinternational.com. And you may say, Donna, why in the world are you putting this together? Well, I really believe the more that you can share information, when people have experiences and they have affected them deeply, when you've had a mother or a father come back after they've passed, it's happened to me, and you can share this experience with someone that maybe has had something happen to them, and they go, wow, you mean I don't need to be afraid of this? You say, no, it's information, and this is what you can do, and so on and so forth. It's wonderful, because people then disengage from the fear that they have, and it's absolutely delightful. So I would love to have your story so I can put it in this book. And again, I'm compiling 100, and for those of you that have sent them to me, they're going into a file. I do need your contact information, though, because when the time comes, we may need a brief bio from you or something special, depending on whatever the publisher will want. So I do want to put that request out there. Also, for those of you in Alaska, I'm going to be up in the far north. I'm really looking forward to it, the week of April the 12th. So my newsletter will be giving the information. It'll also be posted on my website this weekend. But give me a call at my office if you'd like to set up a private consultation with me. And the number is 800-872-8852. Well, I'll tell you. I want to thank Tony, the wonderful man who was dealing with all of our confusion and frustrations and not being able to get the electronics to work. And he was just so gracious, and I had to chuckle. I said I had gotten so frustrated, I figured I was going to have a major PMS attack. And he just giggled and a little and laughed, and he said, you know what, I don't think I'm going to go anywhere with that one. This is a man that had a good sense of humor and was really very, very pleasant to deal with, and I want to compliment him. He works for Comcast, and he is a wonderful employee, and he just did a fabulous job for us, and we were so grateful because we have just been going through agonies for weeks. Well, again, if you want to give me a call, 888-815-9756. You know, Easter is such a fun time. And I came across some tips that if you're pulling things together and you've got children, I know I was talking with somebody, they're going to have a big Easter egg hunt in their house. They've got this huge house, and it's got multiple floors, so it's traditional in the family where they hide, you know, the adults will hide the eggs. And then the kids come in, and they just have a terrific, terrific time. Well, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of you that are really going to be coloring Easter eggs and doing all kinds of stuff. And sometimes you have those little plastic eggs and the kids, you put stuff inside of them, and sometimes they get cracked or you have a challenge. So be aware that there's a lot of options that you can work with for filling those eggs with. But one of the things that is a tradition that a lot of people have done, and the Ukrainians are absolutely amazing. Have you ever seen the Ukrainian eggs? When we were in Russia, and I'd seen some before, but when we were in Russia in 1992, we had the opportunity to visit in the Ukraine. And I was just in awe of the painstaking detail and attention that were given, that was given to these painted eggs. Now, if you wanted to do something like this, in fact, if it's something you'd like to try, you have to blow out the eggs. And I came across a tip. If you want to do this without having a mess, you need to have your eggs in your egg carton, and they have to be raw, of course, and you want to place a straight pin or a nail point down on top of the egg and tap with a spoon until the shell is pierced. Now, you don't want to crack the shell, but you want to pierce the shell. Then you remove the pin and you insert a wooden skewer until it pierces the bottom of the egg. And you hold the egg over glass and push the skewer up and down to break the yolk. And you replace the skewer with a straw, and then you blow until the contents are emptied. You rinse them out, and then you let them dry. And I know here in the Pacific Northwest, with our damp weather, we're having tremendous storms right now at this time. And even though the interior of the house is heated, you still have, it feels like a dampness that's in the air. So you want to be sure that your eggs are going to be located in an area that is dry and warm so that they will cure, if you will, a little bit more quickly. And this is something when you want to marbleize your eggs, you take a tablespoon of oil to a regular batch of dye and you swirl it with a fork. And then what you do, you quickly roll a white or a pre-dyed egg in the swirls and then you pat it dry to reveal the design. Sometimes you can take rubber bands and wrap them around the eggs before you submerge them in dye to create stripes and zigzags. What fun. This is something the kids can do. They could just have a great time with it, especially if you've got a whole bunch of colors. And when I used to color Easter eggs, the more colors you had, the more fun it was. You just really had a great time. Also, you can spray or brush eggs with black chalkboard paint. Then all you need is colored chalk to create designs. And this is something that kids really seem to like. They have found, one parent found, that when they painted the eggs black ahead of time, they were able to do their drawing really, really quickly. And if you want to have a dotted design on your eggs, use a pencil eraser dipped in paint, and you'll get some real nice circles. And, of course, those people that are really into it, you know, if you're Ukrainian and you love to do those little designs and you paint and paint and paint. Well, some people like to use beads and ribbons. They have tweezers they use, small scissors. There's just so much fun stuff that you can do. And those of you that are so wonderfully creative and have the time to do it, you really create something very memorable for people, and it means a lot to them. And lots of times you have, I know one lady in our neighborhood, she has her Easter egg tree, and she has it in an alcove now. Here in the Northwest, because right now we're having stormy weather, she has an alcove in the front of her house, and so she's got this tree, and she has made all of these eggs, and she's decorated them. And you go past her house, as we do when we're walking our dogs, and here are all of these beautiful eggs that she's decorated, and she puts them out there so everyone can enjoy them. So I know it's just a lot of fun. It's a great time of the year, and it's a wonderful time to be creative as an individual. Okay, 888-815-9756. Give me a call if you'd like to chat. I wanted to share a little bit of information about nutrition, and this is from Shane Ellison, who was a guest on my show. And it's about nature's blockbuster diabetes drug. Yeah, you're hearing me right. It's something that nature has produced that has been around for, my goodness, for I don't know how many thousands of years. And this particular natural item is something you probably have in your kitchen. Now, what do you think it is? Try cinnamon. That's right, cinnamon. Every time you use cinnamon, it enhances your wellness. Isn't that a great excuse to be able to bake or do something with cinnamon? I think so. Now, Richard Anderson, who is a researcher with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, he has studied the anti-diabetic effects of cinnamon for over 20 years. And he's compared it with like 50 other natural foods or products. And he said nothing outperformed the tasty cinnamon in increasing insulin sensitivity. They isolated two ingredients in it, and their names are like 2.5 miles long, so I won't go there. However, when they gave 60 insulin-resistant patients, they gave them either 1, 3, or 6 grams of cinnamon per day, And they were compared with people that received a placebo. Do you know that placebos group, their blood blood sugar levels didn't change, but the researchers found that the cinnamon group's blood sugar dropped, and it was substantial. The lowest amount of cinnamon, which was less than half a teaspoon, was shown, less than half a teaspoon now, was shown to reduce blood sugar by 20%. And there's lots of other studies to support that. So if you have your oatmeal in the morning, stick cinnamon in it. Figure some way that you're going to put cinnamon in your diet. If you have a smoothie, put it in a smoothie. Tastes good. It is something that is just wonderful. Do you know they found 6 grams of cinnamon with meals lowered blood sugar twice as much within 90 minutes as compared to meals without cinnamon? So, you can go to your health food store and you can buy cinnamon capsules if you want to do it that way. Or you can buy the plastic, or the, not plastic, but the gelatin capsules and fill them yourself with cinnamon. Go buy a super batch of it and fill your own. But remember, it's just as good when you cook with it. It's wonderful, but very good for you. So just a little bit of trivia there. This is Donna Siebel. Telephone lines are open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. This is Good Friday, and wherever you are, whatever you're doing, I hope you're going to have a fabulous weekend. 888-815-9756 if you'd like to chat with me. We're going to be talking about a wonderful woman, Trudy Harris, who does hospice work and a gift that she was given by sharing with others. So when we come back, we'll be talking about Trudy, but if you want me to talk to you, I can do that too. 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Siebel. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Siebel's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. To Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Siebel's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Siebel and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Siebel is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hello, this is Donna. Give me a call if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Now, here's the lineup of guests that we've got coming up, and I know I haven't gotten the list up on BBS, but it is going to be there by this weekend because we've now got the computer up and working, so we're able to get everything in. But we've got a real dynamic lineup of individuals next week. On Monday, we're going to be talking with Dr. John Kennedy about a 15-minute heart cure. And I think he's going to surprise you with his perspective. Then we're going to be talking with Dr. Lynn Katai on Tuesday. This is a woman who actually experienced and filmed, she's got all of this documented, UFOs in Arizona. Her story is really quite powerful. And she decided to go public because for years she didn't. But now she is. Bob Brill is going to be my guest on Wednesday, Fan Letters to a Stripper. This is a wonderful book, a wonderful story, and it's just really fun. I'm really looking forward to having Bob on my show. What a Body Knows, Kimmerer Lamoth. How can you read your own body so that your body will make you aware of its needs. Well, we're going to find out about that. And then Drunk with Wonder, Steve Riles. Wonderful philosophy, good attitude about life and living, and all of this is going to be available to you next week on the show, and I'm so delighted that we're able to bring it to you. So tell a friend. Now, I wanted to share a story with you. This is Easter weekend. And in Christian philosophy, it's all about the resurrection. And what is that? Springtime is the resurrection of new, where we've gone through very dark periods of cold weather, short hours of light, and it's just a very strong symbology here. Springtime has been celebrated throughout the centuries by various cultures to honor the fact that this is a time of renewal. Well, when I came across Trudy Harris's story, I really liked what I was reading, and I thought I would share it with you because I thought it fit in very nicely with what is being recognized this weekend. Now, Trudy was a woman that was sitting with a gal by the name of Lenora, and she had been involved in hospice work, and she said, Miss Nurse, that's what she called Trudy, she said, I want you to know that this big angel comes in and stands by my bed right there. He's always smiling at me. And she looked at Trudy and asked her, Miss Nurse, when I see that angel, do you really think I see that angel? Now, this woman is 54 years of age. She has inoperable cancer. She's loved. Her room is just filled with flowers. But she's in her final days. She had apparently tried to tell her family about what she was experiencing, and it wasn't working very well. And Trudy, when she was there with Lenora, was thinking about how she started in hospice work. And she said, I might have hesitated years ago about answering a question, but she said, I don't do that anymore. She said, I knew all too well the effects of medication and exhaustion on a dying brain. She said, but this day, when Lenora asked me the question, she said, I knew exactly what to say. Because after working for so many years with people who are closing out their lives, they are passing on. She said, it had taught me that there was something wonderful and there was a new, more hopeful and a more truthful understanding of what death really was. And she said, Lenora, as far as I was concerned, was seeing more, not less, than the rest of us that were with her at different times were seeing. She said, Lenora, you do see that angel, and he is right here with you in the room. Now, as a little background with Trudy, she said she never, ever had really planned on being a hospice nurse. She said she entered nursing school years ago in the 1950s. She said the reason she wanted to become a nurse is because she wanted to make a difference in people's lives. She wanted to help them. She wanted to make them feel better. She wanted to feel like her work had value. Well, she said through the years, when people have found that I do hospice work, they will say to her, how depressing it must be to deal with death every day. And she said, it's exactly the opposite. It's not depressing at all. She's been doing this for over 20 years, and she said she's learned that death is not to be feared. She said her calling for this work came, what she feels, by accident. She was working for a surgeon, and the news came to her, he was a very dear person to her, that he had pancreatic cancer. And she said, you know, when you get news about someone that you really care about that has pancreatic cancer, you know their time is very short. There's no cure for it. But by golly, she ended up helping this person go through the process. And someone said, you know what? You have a talent for this. You need to do the work. And she said, when she was with her grandfather, when he was passing, he turned to her and asked her, who is the man standing nearby the lake? She she said, "Oh, that's not anyone, Grandpa. That's a weeping willow tree." And he looked at her and he smiled and he said, "I see the tree. I mean the man standing underneath the tree. Who is he?" And she said, "Grandpa, do you know who that is?" And he just smiled and he said, "Yes, I do." And he was gone a few moments later. She said, "Thanks to my patience, I've been able to catch glimpses of the understanding of what people are really experiencing, and that is that life goes on. It doesn't end." So as you go through this weekend, have a wonderful time with your family. May the Easter holiday be one of joy. Spring is here. Life is good, and you've got a lot to be grateful for. God bless you all. Have a wonderful holiday weekend. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna. Talk with you on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.